Is college a lousy investment? That's the question posed by Newsweek in its cover story, and we will talk with the author of the piece, who says for an increasing number of students, the answer is yes. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Wednesday, September 12th. Do you think a college degree is worthwhile or not? Are you or is your child pursuing a degree? Or maybe a recent graduate looking for a job and paying off a loan? Let us know your views and questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Or you can become the 1,002nd Twitter follower, Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest in this half hour is Megan McArdle, special correspondent for business, economics, and public policy at Newsweek. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning.
So why do you think a college education is a lousy investment, or could be anyway?
Yes, I think the real answer to that question is not that it's a lousy investment for everyone. For bright, motivated students who know where they're going, it's a great investment still. The average return to a college degree, there's the premium that college graduates earn over high school graduates is 80% of higher wages. So that's a big boost. The problem is that that's not true for everyone. The marginal student is what they call the extra students that we put in, that maybe the less bright, less motivated, less academically inclined people. Those people going in, they're taking out a lot of loans, and it can end up being a negative investment for them. They can end up owing all this money and not getting the benefit of the degree.
So why are so many marginal students racking up debt to get the college degree?
Well, it goes back to that premium. We have taken away the jobs that people used to. My grandfather graduated from high school. He worked as a grocery boy till he was 26 in the Depression, but then he owned a gas station, and that was a great life. And he was very prosperous. He was a pillar of his community. Those opportunities feel like they've narrowed a lot. There's fewer jobs in manufacturing. There's fewer jobs in all sorts of trades for people who don't go to college. And so everyone feels like they have to go. The problem is that you're not necessarily creating new jobs and creating new skills by majoring in English. You may just be allocating the existing good-paying jobs that we have. And if that's the case, what you get is more and more people paying to get this degree, but you're not actually increasing the wage premium on the other end. You're just kind of entering a lottery to get a higher-paying job.
Yeah, when I got my degree, 100 years ago, it was a couple hundred bucks a semester or something like that to go to one of the University of Wisconsin campuses. It's a lot more than that now. Why is the cost of higher education rising so quickly?
It has been very difficult to pin that down. And, the people you really have to ask is college administrators, but as you can imagine, they generally explain that it's not their fault. Part of it is declining contributions by states to their state universities, but that's actually a really new phenomenon that's happened basically since the financial crisis, a little bit after 9/11, but mostly since the financial crisis is when that's happened. And costs were going up for decades before that, so I don't think you can really just pin it on that. And also you see it in private colleges, obviously. The best explanation that I got from an economist in Ohio is colleges are raising tuition because they can. They have these very valuable degrees to allocate. The customers are willing to pay because the opportunities for people who don't have college degrees are so bad. And at the same time, we've enabled the students to borrow so much money to go to college. And 18-year-olds, and I certainly speak for myself when I was 18, they're not necessarily shopping on, well, am I really getting the best value per dollar of the money I'm spending? Borrowed money seems very far away, especially when you've only been alive for 18 years. 4 years seems like forever, right? And so it's very easy to rack up more debt to go, and they start looking at amenities. You've got incredible stuff on some of these campuses. There's a free ice cream truck that circulates at one campus in South Carolina. I mean, it's not free. Paid for by your tuition, but it feels free, right?
Yeah.
There's a 54-person jacuzzi at one state campus.
Holy cow.
Like that. Yeah. And, the fact is that administrators say they have to do this because otherwise the students won't come.
So how much debt are students accruing?
You know, the average for a student who borrows is almost $30,000. It's a lot of money. And those students, and it can be much higher than that. I mean, remember, that's the average, and that includes someone who may take out $5,000 in loans, tied them over for the last semester, and it includes people who can come out with $100,000 for a bachelor's. Or if you look in my case, I graduated from the University of Chicago Business School. I had almost $100,000 in loans, and it took me 2 years to find a job. And when I did, that job paid $40,000 a year.
Yeah. Wow. So you are saying that we're approaching an education bubble, much like the housing bubble, and you fear it's going to burst?
Well, it's not a bubble in the sense that I don't think the prices are going to suddenly collapse by two-thirds the way that they did in Las Vegas and parts of Florida. But I think that it's in the sense that we've enabled, by borrowing money, we've enabled prices to rise inordinately quickly. And that has real implications for, first of all, the value people are getting out of it. You know, where is that money going? It's not going into the pockets of the kids. It's leaving them more indebted and making it harder to get back on their feet. And when you just enable massive debt, you also enable price spikes. And second of all, that to the extent that we're not actually adding so much educational value, and we're more rationing the slots for these good jobs. You know, it's kind of like a game of musical chairs where there's still the same number of chairs, just maybe a different person gets the seat. If you're doing that, then what you're essentially just doing is bidding on a fixed asset, the way that a lot of people bid on a fixed number of homes in good school districts and drove those prices sky high by using these exotic loans that they were allowed to take out.
Well, shouldn't kids today be with their families weighing whether they should go to maybe a technical college versus a four-year or beyond a college, weigh the private college versus the public college, don't accept money to spend $100,000 at some, you know, on some questionable college and degree? I mean, isn't that, don't kids need to just investigate this a little bit more?
No, this is absolutely, is that people need to really think about what the value for their money is. And, you know, there's lots of ways to lower the cost of a college education. You can go to community college for 2 years, live at home, work, and then transfer. And, you know, if your degree says University of Wisconsin, your employer doesn't know whether you spent the first 2 years at community college. And so that's a great way to lower the cost, save money, and also to give yourself a little bit of time to think about what it is you want to do. One of the things that I wish I had done is take a year off, because when I went to grad school, it was such a different learning experience because I'd been out, I'd had a job. I mean, first of all, the job obviously gives you the opportunity to save money, but it also gave me the opportunity to find out how much better school is than doing most jobs. And also to find out a little bit about myself and have more of a sense of where I wanted to go.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Megan McArdle, special correspondent for business, economics, and public policy at Newsweek. We're talking with her about her piece, questioning the wisdom of everyone trying to get a four-year college degree. The piece is College, a Lousy Investment. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today. Turning cloudy, rain developing in the north and west. It's going to be mostly sunny and warm in the south and east. Highs today, upper 60s in the north, getting into the upper 80s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, it's our Big Question segment. And in today's Big Question, we will ask you and our guests, do you support or oppose the Chicago teachers' decision to strike? That's coming up in our Big Question debate after 7. Right now, we're talking about whether or not a college degree is worth it. Our guest is Megan McArdle, special correspondent for business, economics, and public policy at Newsweek. She is the author of a cover story in Newsweek, Is College a Lousy Investment? We're welcoming your experiences, your questions, your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our first caller for Megan is Colette in River Falls. Hi, Colette.
Hi. I have a lot of concerns about this because I have a son in college right now who's going to community college. And part of the issue is a lot of these jobs didn't used to require degrees. He'd like to work for the DNR as like a game warden or or a state park. And those didn't used to require degrees. By the time we get through he's working at this community college and getting 2 2-year degrees there and then another one at Stevens Point, it'll be a 6 or 7 year experience. But what do you tell kids these days that doesn't require, you know, what's left? There's not these inexpensive manufacturing jobs that kids could go to now. And I agree what she says about it's like a gateway to reduce the pool of people who'd like to get to these jobs.
Yeah, that's a great point. There are a lot of jobs now, perhaps, that didn't used to need a college degree that now have to have a college degree, Megan?
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, for some of them, you can say, well, the job has changed and we need certain skills that we didn't used to require. But for a lot of them, you know, 15% of mail carriers now have college degrees according to one economist that I talked to. And, you know, not to denigrate mail carriers, they do a very important job, but it's hard to see how being a mail carrier has suddenly come to require a diploma, except that because so many people go into college, employers can. It's an easy way, as one of my former colleagues at The Atlantic said, it's an easy way for lazy employers to winnow out resumes. And it makes things easier for the employers, but it makes things really hard on workers who don't maybe want to go to college or didn't have the opportunity for one reason or another. It becomes this gateway that they can't get through.
Yeah, we hear a lot about employers can't find the right workers because they don't have the specific skills. Why don't more of these employers train the workers for the skills?
Well, this is actually it's a big difficulty because what they're afraid of is that you spend a lot of money training a worker and then the worker leaves. And so countries like Germany have apprenticeship systems where you actually, they don't pay the high school kids that much, but the kids get to go in the workplace, they get to have the opportunity to learn there, and as James Heckman, an economist that I talked to, says, you know, that's a better environment for a lot of people to learn job skills than sitting in a classroom.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Brian in Managua. Hi, Brian.
Hey, I'm excited to be on. This is an important topic. Yeah, I agree with most about this is really important. The price of this is extremely important from the standpoint that not only is it affecting personal lives and people's ability to make jobs, but I think it has long-term ramifications to affect the overall health of our country in that how many of our best and brightest are actually going to be able to work through the system to become effective contributing members of society at the levels we need them to be, considering the challenges our country is going to face and is facing.
A comment on that, Megan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that the growing expense of the system and in some ways, you know, the fact is that a college degree doesn't do what it used to do. When my parents got out of school, just having any college degree was basically a guarantee of a job. Now a lot of kids end up going to grad school in order to differentiate themselves further and driving the expense up. You know, the system has become harder and harder for people to work unless they have fairly affluent families who can support them.
So what's the fix to this problem?
Well, I mean, I think that the problem is this is hard. Does he always come to the end of the article that you've written and say, okay, well, now what do we do? You know, part of it is parents shopping smarter and students shopping smarter and not thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll get a college degree and that'll be a good job, and so it doesn't really matter what I major in. It doesn't really matter how much I spend now. That's not true. It never really was true, but it certainly isn't true now. You know, half of all graduates right now are either underemployed or unemployed, and which is why so many of them are living at home with their parents. And so you be very careful thinking about college. Do think about taking a year or two off and working. Do think about community college or a cheaper option. And also just really think, you know, do I want college? There are still opportunities out there for people who have decent math skills, and can do things like, you know, the operating engineers say they need people. Lots of manufacturing jobs require two-year degrees with basic math skills instead of a four-year degree. And these are good-paying jobs. They're skilled work. You'll never be out of work. You know, things like nursing, although that is moving towards a four-year degree, still doesn't necessarily require them. There are a lot of solid, well-paying jobs that do not require you to spend 4 years in college. And think about whether one of those jobs might be right for you. Because one of the things that you have to, we should remember, is that the great thing about the American system is you always have the option to go back. If after a few years in the workforce you think, you know what, I do want that college degree, then you will have more self-knowledge, you'll have had time to save money, you'll be in a better position to take advantage of your education. I mean, because let's be honest, a lot of people go to college and they kind of spend 4 years partying and incidentally attending classes. And I did a little bit of that myself, mm-hmm. You'll be in a better position to really get the advantage out of that education and not find yourself on the other end of that 4 years with tens of thousands of dollars of loans, no viable job with which to pay for them, and kind of wondering what happened to you.
Let's go to Annalisa in Green Bay. Good morning.
Morning. I think this is an important topic. I have a couple of comments. We do have, you know, this belief in America about following our dream, you know, that anybody can follow their dream and be successful. And I don't know if you've ever tried to talk a kid out of their dream, even though you know that it's basically a long shot to make it in that field. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to do. And the other comment is I am astounded by the size of some of the debt that I read about. And I don't understand how somebody can justify a debt of $50,000 to $100,000 unless they're planning a career on Wall Street. So I'm just interested in your comments on those things. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. And this is a little bit of the problem, though, is that you've got kind of a vicious circle, as you might call it, is that we've enabled students to borrow a phenomenal amount of money. And it's also the private loan market, which, by the way, is subsidized by the fact that you can't bankrupt a student loan. And that's a policy choice we made, which is enabling kids to borrow more money. And 18-year-olds, it's hard for them to think kind of about settling. It's hard for them to think rationally about the degree prospects. So you've put a really powerful weapon into the tool of students, and it is very hard for parents to come in and say, come on. But, you know, I think that enabling the borrowing by making student loans not bankruptible, also by subsidizing it at the federal level, has made the problem a lot worse. And, you know, frankly, that seems to be translating fairly directly into tuition hikes.
Yeah.
The money's available, and so the colleges can charge for it.
And but you mentioned you had $100,000 in debt, but that was for a postgraduate degree in business.
Yeah, no, and I went to a top five business school.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be the closest thing there was to a sure thing, but I got caught in the 2001 recession. I'd been tech-focused, and I ended up going into journalism, which has been, I mean, by the way, I love my job. I'm so happy I'm in this career. It's been a fabulous experience,
yeah.
And my degree helped me get it. But that $100,000, I was living in New York City on $40,000 a year, and my loan payment was $1,000 a month. Paying that off was a really big deal, and I'd never thought about it because, of course, you know, I'm getting a good MBA. Why would I need to think about the debt?
Right, and journalism is not one of the most highest-paying professions.
Unfortunately not.
Samantha in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Samantha.
Hi. I'm just calling. Actually, I'm on my way to UW-Milwaukee for school this morning.
So you attend UW-Milwaukee. What year are you in?
I'm actually a freshman.
All right.
Yeah, and I listen to your program every morning on my commute.
I'm thrilled. And what do you think of this? Are you racking up a lot of debt to get your degree?
No, actually, I'm not. Choosing to commute is obviously makes a huge difference because part of the biggest expense is living on campus. But I was actually going to call, and since I just graduated from high school, my experience is that actually the high school counselors and what's happening in the high schools is really, I don't want to say tricking, but I'm going to use tricking students into maybe going into college when they shouldn't, because there aren't a lot of opportunities at the high school level for students who have other skill sets or maybe shouldn't go on the college track. And most students are really, really being pushed into college. And if that's not your skill set, it doesn't really matter. There's also a social stigma around that, too, in high school.
Yeah, well, great. I'm so happy you called, Samantha. What are you interested in? What's your pursuit?
Right now, I'm interested in linguistic anthropology, but we'll see how it goes.
Good luck with that, Samantha. No, I'm just teasing. Does she have a point there that guidance counselors maybe are, I don't know if tricking is the right word. Maybe you'd say it's the right word, Megan?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, part of it is that the guidance counselors don't necessarily have the information that they need, mm-hmm. and the programs aren't necessarily there. You know, it can be really hard to tell a kid, well, you know, I want to be a mechanic. Well, you know, in Germany, that's a thing you choose at 16. I'm not advocating, by the way, that we switch to this. It has other problems and can be very rigid, and it can track kids too early. But the general idea of there being programs out there, well, I want to try this. You know, there's no opportunity to go into the workplace, work part-time. There's no opportunity to find good vocational programs. They're going to pair you with an employer, pair you with skilled people who will help teach you to be useful to that employer. And so the kind of default is, well, go to college and then you're not my problem. And I don't think that the guidance counselors necessarily think that they're doing wrong by the kids. There's just not that much else out there. Yeah. Although I will say that, of course, in a lot of high schools, you know, one of the things that they're judged on is how many of their kids go to college.
Well, I get it. And we are out of time for now. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Megan McArdle, special correspondent at Newsweek. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and Cynthia Schuster for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.